nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joyce.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Diane Spear, calling. Bill Silver.
Here.
First is the approval of the minutes from the June 18th. Regular council meeting, the synopsis and.
I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes. I'll second.
Motion by Holly, second by Joyce, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next is the approval of the agenda.
I'd like to add something.
Okay.
Community building.
Okay, and then also, I have had a request for Mr. McPherson to be on the agenda about a sewer line. It's not something we would make a decision on tonight, but we need to hear him, so I'm going to ask him to do that during the public comment rather than put him all the way to the end because it's not something we can go on. And I thought Chad would be here from the Liberty Bus, so if he does come in, he had asked to be on, he will do the same thing, we'll just do it during public comment because there's nothing we need to add on. He's going to ask us about what we have on the bus. Okay, and the Collins edition. For the community building, entertain a motion to approve the
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Mr. McPherson.
Okay.
I'll let her speak.
My name is Ron McPherson. This spring, 363 Crapo Street is connected to the village sewer. When I arrived in Alberta on June 14th, I was told that a Kirby excavation had bore under my house at 361 Crapo to install the sewer line. I was also told that during that process that they hit my foundation twice. And it was apparent to me that something had happened because our stack of washer and dryers were askew and the pictures were askew. So I asked Ken first and subsequently Mr. Kirby to come and show me where the line had been placed. Ken came to my house and told me that the line had to be at least 10 foot from the structure and therefore it could not be under my house. He said that the line was installed down the 363 driveway, that's 363 Craigville's driveway, on the side away from my house, and that it would not have hit my foundation. He agreed to contact Mr. Kirby and confirm this. He never got back to me. Since he didn't, I called Mr. Kirby and asked him to come up to my house. And he, in essence, confirmed what Ken had said, but he said that he could be closer than 10 foot. At that time, I pointed out that where they said they had gone in, the gravel didn't look to be disturbed, and he gave me a line of who they brought in the load of gravel, new load. And I can see that it just didn't make sense. I didn't think I was being told the truth. So I dug down on my property to where the sewer line went, and can see that it went diagonally across my property and came out about a foot and a half from the corner of the house. So it did not go under, but it did go across my property. I assume Ken knew that the line went under my front yard and not down the portion of 363's driveway owned by 63 because the sewer line from the city didn't go up far enough for them to be able to do that. Furthermore, I assumed that he was present when the line was connected. I'm upset for a couple of reasons. One, no one contacted me to see if they could bore it through my yard or underneath. Which I believe is a trespass. Ken did not, and furthermore, Ken did, to me, look after my interests as a taxpayer. It seemed like he was more concerned with expedience for the contractor. And the third thing that bothers me the most is it seemed that both of them were untruthful to me. Now, I guess all I'd really like is an apology and assurance that they won't do that sort of thing again. I think that's within 3 minutes.
Be an auctioneer. Okay, as long as we're dealing with the council, we don't have any objection, I'll just finalize this at this time. And I know that's kind of out of context of the way we normally do things, but we're here, he's here, we got it out. Does anybody have an objection to that? Or do we wait until the end of the meeting?
Some parts of Crakel Street is 50 feet, some are 40 feet.
It doesn't really make any difference because it goes right up to my house, right through the center. And there are easements and different things, but even if you consider anything like that, it still does.
Well, I have looked at your property.
Well, you can take a shovel and check.
Kenny? I know you wasn't here for the first part of that.
The landowner, the owner of that house, is the one that had it hooked up.
Was that one behind it, or?
Mm-hmm.
The owner of?
Yeah, the village didn't have it done, the owner of the house did.
Did they contract Kirby? Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the house contracted Mr. Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
So, and who is the owner?
I'm not sure who owns it.
Do you know Mr.?
Well, that apartment place.
It's that trust thing here.
Oh, it's
the
apartments back in the woods that they were going to? Well, they'll have that in the office.
What did they do, put a police station in there?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, are they, I guess I don't really know anything about it. So are they hooked up to city sewer?
Yeah, now they are. Now they're hooked. Before they were just hooked up to water. Now they're hooked up to the water and sewer.
And is your house the last house on the right pole then?
Mine's the last one on the right. And then theirs is down behind.
Right.
But what I'm pointing, it's hard for me to show you. Right. If you look at the house, instead of going, continuing up Crakel and then cutting down their property,
right,
they stopped and went diagonally through mine. And in the boring process, they did hit the foundation. I don't know if they damaged anything. I can't see it. Then I might not see it now. But we can talk of different property lines and all that, and it gets more complicated. But basically, it went diagonally through my front yard, all the way up to the house.
Maybe they had to just because, I'm just speculating here, just because that house is so far back in there, I don't know where the sewer line comes out, maybe they had to pull through Mr. Pearson's property just to hook up to it. Is that possible, Ken? Is that what happened?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there when they did that.
I assume that he would be since they connected up to the village line and he knew how far the village line went up.
Right.
So therefore, it could not have gone on their property, it had to go through mine.
Sure.
And I'm upset because nobody was, it seemed to leak. Neither Ken nor Kirby was telling me the truth. Mr. Kirby's giving me a line about gravel being purchased and, you know, where it went and everything, and very precise. And, you know, I wanted to believe him, but it bothered me because I could see what he said wasn't correct. So I went, and on the side of my house, on my property, I stayed on it, I dug down, which wasn't easy, but I did to see where the dang thing went. And it went diagonally up through my yard. Now, if both of them would have told me that to begin with, or asked, I probably would have said, fine. But you don't just go through my, you know, property like that and not even consult me, and then feel like I'm getting a line because they did it and then didn't want to admit it. And I felt like Ken would know because the line had to go up further for them to go down their property. And I figured that you'd be there when they connected. And he was going to contact Mr. Kirby and get back to me. He did not do so.
I contacted Bob and told him that he should go talk to you.
Okay. But you never told me that. I didn't know that.
I was up at your house and you weren't home at the time.
Okay.
I
know you're busy. I do.
Did you talk to the property owner?
I don't even know who the property owner is. It's one of those IRA type things. It's out of state. But I honestly don't think the property owner had much to do with it. I think it was just convenient, you know, for the, I guess, the village and that guy and the excavator to go through my property rather than through theirs. I know that it's difficult, now that it's done, that it's difficult to remove. I understand that.
I mean, all the talks I went, they said it was going up on the road.
You can see Ken in the business. And I could see it, but I couldn't convince you or get a straight line from Kirby, so I had to go down and dig and see where the line went. And that bothers me too. If they both told me it went through there, I might have stopped. But I had to dig down to find out that it did.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know,
how big a line did you see coming up through there?
Pardon?
How big was the line?
It's the white line about this big.
Okay. Well, I just,
I know which one it is because Pat helped put them, you know, Pat helped put it in.
I don't go by their employees and stuff, so I don't know. I wasn't there.
What about the injection line?
Yes, it's a pressure line. 2-inch pressure line.
Yeah.
Was there damage done to your property, Mr. McPherson?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I don't think so. I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did hit the foundation. Although they said, of course, that they didn't do that. The trouble is I spoke to people that were there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the same way as I knew that it didn't start up further up Craypole and go down their property, that it went across mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, half of it, there's an easement. We granted an easement on the driveway. They have a driveway easement, but half of that, they have a utility easement. You know, even with that, they should ask you before doing it. I would have said yes. But I'd like to be asked if you do something with my property. And then I'd like to be told the truth afterward.
Well, I told you what I knew, what I was told, what I knew.
I know, Ken, but if you think about it, the line goes up like this. If it's going to go down,
I have argued about where the road right away is for as long as I've been here.
Well, that has nothing to do with road.
Yes, right. It does.
How?
Because if it is in the road right away, it is not in your property.
Oh, I understand. But you're right.
It's just like your fence is straight out in our right away. But you say it's in your yard.
Getting in arguments. One of the first things he raises when I contact him is my fence. And then I remind you that I had the village president come up to the house to show
me. And I reminded you.
And he reminded me that he's the zoning guy. And I reminded him There's supposed to have been that meeting with the president and didn't show, so she said to put it there. What am I supposed to do more than that? But to me, I'm offended when he brings that up, because it seems like he's saying, well, we screwed up on this here, but by golly, your friend shouldn't be here. So that's very offensive.
Okay, well, we have all the facts.
Yeah.
We're not here about the fence.
I understand.
So we will look into it. Well, I'll talk to Mr. Kirby, and I'll talk to the owner, and we'll talk to Kenny, because he knows more about the sewer than I do. I don't know anything. Probably Ken Holmes knows more than I do. I apologize if you weren't contacted. And I understand. I really do.
I'm sorry to get heated, but it just seems like, I don't know.
The thing is, we'll look into it, make sure that you're both satisfied, both sides of the road. That's the only honest way to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming.
What's your phone number, Mr. McPherson?
830-285-4194. That's our cell phone.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else have a brief public comment?
Public comment?
Brief public comment?
Brief, 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Since it's brief, I'm going to be blunt.
Brief and blunt, okay.
The happier news, those Greenwood signs have to come down. They are not actual, and they go against the character of the village. I believe they even detract from tourism. Because how many people care about a family from 150 years ago versus nothing at all? There's nothing to benefit from that aspect of it. The other thing is that, factually and historically, I volunteered at the historical museum, they're not true. It's like they pulled the number out of a hat. They didn't even read the book called The History of Alberta to get their facts. I think it's consensus, the book to go by. So, I'm frustrated that it was so expedient, because I heard about it, and then 4 days later it was posted. I don't know how they got the state to do anything that quickly.
I don't either.
It's impressive. I don't
it is
impressive. But as far as, I just moved on Furnace Street. No way is that going to be Greenwood Lane or whatever. I'm not going to live on that crappy road.
That was never a part of any of this.
All
that
right.
That was not discussed. That is not, you don't have to worry about that.
Thank goodness. Because at least Furnace represents the Democratic blue-collar character of us.
There again, that hasn't been here in 100 years, that furnace.
Yeah, so, but still, it's the character of the town, the car fairs, the railroad, everything with that, everything about that.
Was.
Even the selection of the name of Alberta was a Democratic blue-collar process.
Because it was Alberta, it was from the Alberta Beach, and later on 10 bucks.
The newspaper, like
that. The Green Walls were the ones that established this whole area when they came.
That is not true.
Yes, they are.
The Greenwoods were the second people in town. They lived here for 5 years, then they moved south into Gilmore Township, where they had a very notable farm. They contributed a lot to Benzie County, but not that much to Alberta. That their house on that corner there isn't even the most notable building that was there. The American House, another civic building, another community building, was more impactful than their home in the subsequent school.
Like I said, I know lots about the history in Alberta, and now you're referring to something that's not right.
Me?
Yes.
I'm referring to Blacklock. I have forgot the book if you want to read it.
Well, I don't need to read it. My comment with Mr. Blacklock's history is he put what in it, what he wanted, and the people who didn't want it wasn't in it.
The other thing is that it corresponds to the pioneer conventions of 1900, so, which Blacklock was not there. However, the information coincided with information in the book.
So I'm glad they disagree, but it's not consensus in there.
Well, I disagree with them.
Well, as far as the council though, we agreed to support her effort to get the sign from MDOT. That's between her and MDOT, and if you're offended by it, that's between you and her. It's MDOT, my personal opinion.
My opinion is that the interest of the village, which I hope we represent, it is not the interest of the village.
Well, it's not, in my opinion, it is.
Well, I'm glad you support the Greenwood family in Alberta. I don't think all the people, they're the most visible thing in the town. They don't drive through to look at.
To get, get away on the subject, it seems like no matter what happened in, around there, there'll be someone who's gonna complain about it anyway. Don't make any difference, or does it?
It does make a difference because I live here, and I'm gonna see that sign every day.
I've seen it too. What's the difference?
The difference is that it's factually incorrect, and it's embarrassing that the village is represented by not fact.
They're represented by the best history they've got.
That is not the best history they have. The best history they have is in history books, or at MSU, where Black Box Collection is now considered a resource. Not your opinion.
Well, not your opinion either, so there's a difference.
I didn't write a book. I don't need to. The book's already written.
So tell me what books it's... You said it's in the history of Alberta, then that's not true. Are there more references?
There are 17 references in which the Greenwoods are not the first people to settle Alberta. There's even a reference stating that they are the second family to settle in Alberta.
Library, would you know?
Exactly. The library has many books, and that family did not look at any.
I'm
going to talk about Blacklock anyway.
But Blacklock, he is. He didn't do a real good job for Albert.
He spent 50 years representing the village.
Yeah, that's right.
Good for you.
That's right.
He actually went to court against Frankfurt because they were stealing tax money from Alberta.
Only cost Alberta $100,000.
Right, and that's, do I know something? He didn't get anything else because he knew that he wasn't going to win because Frankfurt had a grid.
Would you produce your 17 references for...
I have them. They're on your blog. Bring them. They're in that comment.
If you could just make a copy and get that to me.
They're on the Alberta Alert.
I know, but I'm not on that one.
Yeah.
It's on the web. You don't have to be on anything. It's on the web. If you go to alberta-alert.org...
I know, I just like to have a hard copy so I don't have to look it up.
Well, why does somebody else have to print it out for you? Honestly, this decision was made with absolutely no factual documented basis whatsoever. Why is it now our job?
It's not your job. It's only your job because you're complaining. We said we would support it if it was in fact factual. And that's what we said.
You determined that it was factual.
That's not our job to prove if it's factual. We just said if it is factual,
it's
we
not MDOT's either.
Well, the way the decision was made, she was given a piece of paper that said that she had permission to do it. So it didn't say, like,
no,
if it's factual.
For her to take to MDOT, and it was between her and MDOT.
Well, yeah, but now it happened.
We did not say that we knew for a fact that was a fact. I asked her several questions and asked her if that was true.
But you allowed it to just happen.
So it happened.
Whether it was factual or not.
We don't allow MDOT to put signs up, Emily. That's
yeah, you do. That was what that permission said.
It was a support if it was factual.
But then how come the sign's up?
I don't know. I've never seen the state react that fast to anything in my life. So.
I
think she already got it.
Yeah. And not only that, you're talking about the Alberta blabber that you're talking about. It was done even without that. Alberta wasn't even in existence when that Alberta alert was made. I have the Eldorado.
So do I.
And
it's also on the interwebs.
No, you don't have the Eldorado because there's only one copy of it, and I have it.
There was a promotional newspaper paid for by the businesses of Frankfurt. Yes.
Nobody has it.
Okay, we're moving on. Done with that.
Nobody has it.
It's on the internet.
It's
way up.
No, nobody has it.
I'll
give you a $50 bill if you can find anybody that has the Eldorado.
It's on my computer right here.
I have it.
Okay, moving on.
I don't know what that proves.
Wow.
Thank you for your time, by the way.
Rewriting history with money. Correspondence. Letter B. Scott Cameron Economism, and it was about maintenance reports of the tank, the road going out to the tank, and our responsibility. So
there's public comment at the end, too.
And the agenda item, that's what spirit of that was, Mr. Long Economism.
That's crazy.
The next correspondence, I think everybody got enough.
You did a good job.
Northwest. This one was a Manala envelope at $2 million.
Nice.
And this is just, this is from Scott Yass' office, he worked for them, and it's a book on it.
Yeah, I have that, sorry.
That was the other correspondence from that. Letter of resignation from Kathy Anderson. I hereby tender my resignation from the Village of Belvoir, Budget Finance and Audit Committee. But immediately, and I would just like to say for that, there's no way, we couldn't all name our firstborn after Kathy and show our appreciation for what she's done for this. And so,
tremendous job.
She has done a tremendous job, and she needs to finish her house and get on with her life. And she's the type of person that when she commits, she can't just commit a little bit because she wants to jump on her both feet. So, just really, really appreciate the time that she has spent for all of us in the Village of Belvoir. The next one is the letter that Holly and Boyer wrote to Sharon Lauer. To whom it may concern, I'm requesting any and all information regarding soil samples taken from the library located in Alberta in the fall of 2014 at the request of the Gilmore Township.
And Sharon did receive it, and his date of delivery was 7/13/15.
Cooney, who is our MML attorneys, and through the MML, is doing a webinar on Thursday, July 23rd, from noon to 1:15. I didn't make everybody copies of this.
What's the date on that again?
It is Thursday, July 23rd at 2:15. From noon to 1:15, and it's a webinar where MML is going to talk about all the changes with the FOIA. We had a big packet that they've asked us to that talks about FOIA and all that. They made a lot of changes in the laws and what you can charge, what you can charge, and what you cannot charge, and all that. Did not fill this out because I wanted to take the webinar first, because I have no clue what the changes are. I wanted to print them, but it's kind of a hands-on thing, so if anybody gets the opportunity, you'd like to do it, I figure you can sign up, and if you wanted to go and do it in the office.
So this is online?
This is online, yep. So if anybody wants to do it, I'll pass this out, and you want to do it, if Ken and Joyce, if you guys want to do it in the office, well, I'll put a computer in right there from 12 o'clock, because I want Mary to make it. Yeah, you can do it at home, but we have to RSVP, they want to know who's taking it, so if you're going to take it, just let me know, and I will RSVP Gretchen's office and let them know who's taking it.
Yes,
unfortunately, I'm working that through lunch hour that day, and I can't get home, so I'm going to ask them if there's going to be another one. It's noon to 1:15. I'm going to ask her if I can, and then we could have a sit down.
Yeah, it's better if I get it recorded.
his compensation fund from the MML. And this is saying that there, this is a ballot for this year's Board of Trustees. Six incumbent trustees have agreed for reelection. Nobody's running against them, so they want to know if you want to vote for them. I didn't make copies of all this because none of us know who any of these people are. Oh! But I have to see if anybody wants a copy. I was actually going to do it with a copy machine at the office last night, but not doing really well. And I ran everything online and I ran out of ink, so. Okay. I did not get it. Old business, Frankfort, Alberta Athletic Association contract. We did not sign that. I'm not comfortable signing that. We have been doing it for 100 years.
And that's what keeps this part going here.
Yep. I would like to see the contract tweaked a little bit though, because they want us to mow it twice a week. We can't afford it. We've already signed the mow contract. I would like keys taken. I would like to take pictures of the bathroom. The bath, I didn't know all the mats, but the one bad.
They're not for the porter down there.
And I don't know who they got keys from or where they got them, but they're back. So, Kenny, if you could change a lot on that, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I think that we should let them use the bathrooms. Because I think that.
Holly, go in there and take that bathroom. And that's when they're using it. It's bad.
But tell them someone has to clean it up.
Well, what about having Ken's helper clean it once a week? This building is used for everything. It's used for Parks and Rec. It's used for every time someone has a meeting, it needs to be vacuumed. There's other things that.
Yeah, but it doesn't get vacuumed very much.
So instead of giving them $500, why don't we just say we can't afford it at this time?
Well, when you're having meetings in here, though, when they're using the bathroom, they're loud. And I'd rather have them use a $500 for a porta-john, because last year they broke the women's sinkhole off in the back.
Yeah, when they're using it, that's why you put them out there in the porta-john. They all seem to be happy with it.
Then they flushed stuff down the toilets. They got plumbed them up way to buy new toilets.
Yep.
So, like I said, that had nothing to do with the people playing here. The organization, Frankfort, Alberta Athletic Club, is the one that, we have Andy Michael and those are people that are doing a lot of all the extra work and stuff that has to be done, but they still have to have some finances to continue their business.
I don't have a problem with the supporting it. I'm just like to add in the contract that they're going to pour the body and that they. And that we don't add any more mows because.
We
might mow it anyway. They mow it all.
We mow, right, but I mean, why mow it if it doesn't need mowed?
Right. Yeah, they're asking in the contract for twice a week mow.
No.
And I think that's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, when it gets mowed, we mow it. I mean, that's.
Right. That's so I just would like that to be done.
That mowing never came up anymore. I mean, why is it coming up now?
I don't know.
Well, twice a week is if you have sprinklers and you have grass that grows.
It does do bad. When it's bad, then you get hurt. But we got good people that's working on that stuff right now, and I give them a pat on the back.
And I mean, I spray around the fences so there's no trimming in the grass and going on. I mean, on the ones along here, I didn't have the back fence or nothing, but.
I like to have that. I mean, the back fence, you clean that up and real good there. Your dad had it a couple of years ago, and that's the first time that was really done, and done right, because it was overgrown with trees and everything else up to that point.
Right, but can you get that down far enough for us to keep maintaining, or we could have another park, but that park?
It's just one of the parks we're maintaining, you don't want to maintain them all, or don't maintain any of them. You know, that's the whole thing of, I've been going through all these towns lately, just to see what's going on and what they're doing there, and I'm really impressed with Frankfurt, doing that they got a lot more money than that. But they do.
And a whole lot bigger staff.
Well, they do, but they also have a whole lot more volunteer workers there, but they got a bunch of seed workers that doesn't cost them anything to have either. And in order to get them, you have to apply for them early.
Okay, so what's the council's consensus on?
They want $500 for what?
It goes into the operation of the Frankfurt Athletic Association, what is that?
We're paying $500 for them to do what this field?
Well, it's not only for this field, it's the athletic, Frankfurt Alberta Athletic Association, so it maintains this field and the Frankfurt field, both are the ballparks, and I don't know, it's the football field too.
I think the biggest thing is, I was talking to a cousin of mine last year, and I was saying, you know, if you keep your kids busy, if you keep, you know, the young ones busy, they're not gonna sit on the couch playing Nintendo all day, get heart disease, looking for trouble, whatever, can keep them busy with sports, hopefully keep them off the drugs, and keep them healthy. And she said, well, we can't afford to. And I said, well, what do you mean you can't afford to? She goes, well, it's like $500 or $600 just to play this sport, and then you want to put them in this sport too, and that's another $800. And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Because here, you know, if our kids want to play baseball, it's $30 a kid.
Yeah.
It's nothing. And so I think what the money is it helps to keep everything going, and it's full of volunteers.
They have to have the money to order people.
Oh, yeah. And
for $500, that's a pittance.
And out of that money back, you know, they put that money in the fund, and out of that money was the dugout was built. I mean, nothing, you know, like no big things every year, but $500 is not really probably buy one bleacher, let alone two, and a dugout. I mean, you know, they do that. They redid the field at the Frankfurt Field, and they do have concessions, and they do have restrooms there, and, you know, and who knows? I mean, hopefully someday when our tax base is better, we could afford to put more, we could have that as well. You know, we could have a really nice dugout and even a concession stand and stuff, you know, we could afford to pay some to have it.
Like
other bathrooms that.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, I feel like Holly said, someone should be in there cleaning this place once a week anyway. We have meetings all the time here. People every, you know, it should be done. It's not being done.
It should be done. And our manpower is so limited, and we've got so much that has to be done. And to just do a normal maintenance after meetings, you could be in and out of here, I know, because I was doing it in a half hour. But with that mess and broken toilets and plugged toilets and busted sink and stuff, you can't. And the village can't afford that either. So, you know, and if we build the athletic association, that $500 would have been gone.
Yeah.
Real fast. Real fast.
It's for a good cause. When you see those small kids out there playing T-ball and back and forth, and it's keeping them busy.
Well, and that's what makes it part of the Frankfurt Alberta
Association,
a lot of the little kids do play ball there.
Yeah, but that's what they like the Alberta field for, you know. Mm-hmm. They got plenty of room.
We have kids that play football and basketball over there.
Yeah.
So
this is our park. And I agree with Holly, you know.
Yeah.
Anytime you can get a kid outside.
Yeah, you bet.
Instead of in there with a video game in their hand. Not that that's all bad either, but you know, it's nice.
Well, I'd like to make
smell real bad. Before they flush the toilet and quit. I'm serious, flush the toilet. As the water vacates out of the toilet, you flush the toilet, the sewer gas is going to come off.
Yeah. So if someone comes to clean that, they flush our cutouts.
Or you could.
I come down here and turn lights off, I turn the doors and all that stuff. I'm here every morning, I walk through this, every morning I walk through this place.
Well, then you could clean it.
Then you should pay me. I'll clean it, you pay me.
Well, then you can't.
I didn't get paid when I cleaned it.
I can't be on council if you pay me.
Hey, get over it. I won't get into it, but it's an awful short thing of what's happening now in the village compared to what one man used to do.
Okay, so we're going on with the fire ordinance and permits, old business, and that is an agenda item again.
Yep.
So that's what the rod has been holding with the permit on that. So let's go to agenda item number one.
Wait, what are we doing?
Oh, that's on the agenda.
Okay.
Again. Code enforcement officer. I gave you all this thing from Michigan Association of Code Enforcement Officers. So it's not just as simple as picking someone and saying, please do this for us. There are rules and bylaws and continuing education and training. So, and I actually printed those off heavy as well. So, and I'm just making a copy. I'm going to go through these just to let you know that it's not something that we can just say, okay, let's do that. We have a process, like everything else is always a process.
But I'm wondering, can we get a retired officer or one of them, you know?
I'm hoping that we can.
To do that, I mean, they've already got the training.
One of the things about your Michigan Association of Code Officer is it's also somebody when they're trained and certified that they do your building inspection. You know, they're covered for a lot of things besides just your nuisance ordinances. That's a really small part of it. They handle the Michigan Association Code of Enforcement Officers as a nonprofit organization open to persons involved with the responsible for the enforcement of land use, nuisances, zoning, environmental, building and property maintenance codes for the state, county, or local municipality. That's the first sentence of that. So that's the beginning of what they can do for us. We need, you know, it'd be nice to have all that. So then it goes on to say the how and whys of doing that. So everybody read that, and then when we come to the meeting next month, hopefully we'll have, and if you know of anybody or you want to contact anybody and you have them come to the meeting, we'll have to come up with, I would guess, an application or at least, you know, for qualifications and what we need. I'm trying to get a hold of Tom a little bit.
Now, Kathy had pointed out to me that Crystal Lake Township, I think it was, had something in the newspaper about having the zoning enforcement officer. So I don't know if that would be in the paper. Or
certain qualifications in order
exactly.
to do it.
And we
have
to find out what those are.
Yeah.
But if we want to do our code, and we've got to have some room outside of
it. Right. So read this, and I'll read this. This is the bylaws and the constitution. And continuing on. Okay, Holly, I'm going to ask you to take over the next one.
So we're an ordinance. I haven't been by the previously existing pumps lately to see if they have any outdoor wood burning. Okay. At present time, there are no outdoor wood burning furnaces in the village. And it would be nice to keep it that way.
Yes.
But there was a thing saying that someone did slip one in before this meeting that you have to do a few things to it, but obviously that won't even apply anymore. But it's just saying that you can't have an outdoor wood furnace. And if somebody thinks that you have one, I think you can go and somebody, the fire chief or authorized person can go and inspect the property to make sure you don't have one. If somebody says someone put one in. But it's outdoors, so how can that be an issue?
No, this is no person shall install an outdoor wood furnace, also known as outdoor wood fire, whatever. That's what you want. And so long there's none here, just keep it that way.
So this is an amendment to
fire ordinance.
The fire ordinance.
Yes.
And we've done the whole thing in its entirety.
The only
The changes are on the very back edition. It says it exactly. It used to be a different color, but I realized that the print wasn't.
Yeah. Well, when I first printed them, I kind of punched 8. If there's anything that was blue, then I'm red.
The only thing we
So that's why I took it to mine and I just got it on darker and then it printed. That's why it's all black and there's no blue. Okay, so good job, Holly.
Thanks. I know.
Who's that here about that?
I did have some help.
I was it's been a long time, and my name's on the original burn ordinance, I made the motion, but it's been a long time since we did this one, and I think that's why periodically, like every 5 years, and we talked about that at the policy procedure and meeting in the planning commission, we need to revisit ordinances, because especially now, everything changes as rapidly as it is. Things get outdated, or something comes into effect that didn't even have before, you know, like 5 years ago. So that's something that, and laws too.
We have to amend some of the older ones.
And that was the other thing that I didn't see in here, and I wonder if we should add, as maybe section 15 or 14, that any county, state, or federal law that changes that would affect our ordinance, we would automatically adopt, because I think we would legally have to. And rather than have a meeting and all that, that would just, you know, if we get something from the state that says, okay, we've done this, we bring it to our attention, and that we should automatically either do that or just at least look at that and then amend it
at the time. Because you got pretty well done on section 14, so this ordinance will take effect immediately. Ordinance in conflict with any other provisions or ordinance are hereby repealed. So that will take care of something that comes up that is not that we got here that we have to repeal. And 14 says that we can appeal.
Right, for this ordinance, but it doesn't say anything about if ordinance changes at a county or state level. Or do we want to just look at that and say if something comes through that we and the council will automatically look at that?
Right.
I would rather look at it again because you don't know what may come across.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what supersedes what, too. So if it does,
everything changes almost every day. So.
Yeah, okay. Bill?
Are we voting on the outdoor wood furnaces or?
The whole thing.
Then no.
James, yes? And is it fire ordinance? Amendment. Okay. Number 17. Okay, the next one is the village water storage project. Yeah. It's right at best, yeah.
Well, I wonder, like, if you decommission the tank, I guess before you go to that point, I want to know if the current tank is going to be
right.
big enough.
That's what the thing is.
That's what it's going to do, find out.
Right, and I mean, I don't know, Kathy was, had called Corey Fager, I don't know where she is on that.
Because, I mean, the village of Alberta at this point isn't growing, and if it does grow significantly, then the tax base will be higher, and you've got to change
what?
The village to support that. Currently,
what Scott said, I asked him, he said, most small places, if, all right, say, them guys want to come put their condos in down there, that's fine. Have them add 50,000 gallons to the water system tank.
Yeah, they can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but this
people in town doing it, you know, we made provision for water to go down there, so you know, when you go down Narrow Street, that Narrow Street has a huge land for water to go to the condos if they ever show up. So that part was done, that was an extra job done there for, I think that's an 8-inch line or a 10-inch line.
So, but anyway, yeah, that's to do with the storage and then, he suggested putting the fence around it. That skater system will cost the village a bunch, but we don't necessarily need that. Right, I mean, as of right now, we don't need it.
But we need a fence up there.
Right, I got part of it, I'd love to give us some fence, we just gotta cut some trees and.
Well, if we're gonna go, through the process, then we have to go just what we have to do. And if we can get it for 2.75 interest, that's a lot less interest they're paying right now.
Yeah, we have two lanes, one we're paying for, one we're paying six on, so we're gonna combine, we're gonna re, we wanna reapply for those loans. And the reason that the resolution is to contract Cory Fraser Incorporated to prepare the loan development application is because they've already done it, so they already are in possession of a lot of the paperwork, because the application requires.
They did our reliability study on that.
Right, and it requires engineering, copies of engineering digital records, you know, there's just lots of things that this application that they require that Gordy Fraser already has. So for us to start from ground zero and pay an engineer, to bring in another engineer, put that out to bid again, would cost us a lot of money. He's already done it. I've talked to Gordy, or Kevin from Gordy Fraser's a couple times on the phone, and they have that.
They have both of the information they need. Mm-hmm.
So how much would this cost us to get him to do that?
Well, we have asked him that when we apply for this loan, if we approve this, we have, you know, he hasn't given us a bid on the scope of what he needs left, because he has to see the application and know exactly what they're asking for, what they already have on records and what they don't. So, and we have to cover that in the loan as well. So, I don't want to say it doesn't come out of our pocket, because it certainly does, but it would be wrapped into this loan that we're looking at. And he talked to Blake Smith, who would be the one getting the loan from the rural development, and the money that we would save in interest alone in the first year or two.
I just don't want to, you know, I just want to be fair.
Right, the way Scott told me too, because he recommended that USDA loan, as part of it, they go by the money's in the village, and part of it can be a grant. So, say you had $50,000 you borrowed, 20 of it might be a grant, or 25 of it might be a grant, you know, or 75. They decide what part of it might be a grant. Like, and so then you only, you know, you might only have to pay back 10% of it, or, you know.
Well, one of the other things about the loan, though, that is a given, and it's in the application, is that in order to get the loan, you have to improve your system. Well, that's the sewer one. But you have to improve your system too. And we've already done our water study. We have our maintenance program. You know, we have all that. We have a 10-year plan. So that will look, he thought that would look very favorable to us when we go to apply for the loan, because let's face it, Alberta's not exactly
cash flush.
Right. And we're kind of a high-risk loan right now.
No.
You know, we won't be in 5 years, so.
Could they combine in that loan, the water and the sewer?
You're saying they can, or you're saying they can't?
I'm asking if they could.
It's, you know, two separate. it's two separate loans?
It'd be two separate contracts, because they did that two different contracts, and they did it for Main Street here.
And you have two separate collaterals, you have your water system and your sewer system? So it would be two separate. But we'll ask them, you know, again, it's changed so much, and who knows by tomorrow, and like, there will be a bet, so that's something we'll ask. Okay, so the motion is on water storage improvement to contract Cory Frazier to prepare the USDA Rural Development Loan Application for the Village of Elberta Water Storage System Improvement.
Can't hurt to get it done.
So that's the wording of the resolution, if somebody would like to make the motion.
I'd like to make a motion to contract with Cory Frazier to prepare USDA Rural Development Loan Application for the Village Water Storage System Improvements of Elberta.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, the next one is the sewer, sanitary sewer collection system. And this one is part of the loan where, on this one, in order to get the loan, you have to improve your system by 51%. And that would allow, so we'd have to borrow more money than we owe.
Oh, yeah.
In order for them to give us the loan for this price, which would enable us to, and I'm guessing that you committee decided that it would be Lincoln Avenue is bad. I mean, it seems like we're doing stuff. That's where we would start and replace that. That would put us into a sewer maintenance. Actually, that would put us way ahead of the game, because our water thing, we're putting the money in there, but we really haven't done much. The sewer thing, we would be, if we got this loan approved, we would be doing Lincoln Avenue.
But we did the
and the street would get improved, because that would be part of the improvement of the sewer.
All along 168, water and sewer was all done.
Right.
And that they should have took care of. That's almost a mile, just under a mile to the south down at the park.
Mm-hmm.
Our sewer costed us $29,000 last year.
In repairs?
Extra.
Yeah.
And what we took in, that's what it cost of the village too. So we have to fix it, because we can't afford to keep it.
Well, like I said, I can't afford to clean up the church basement any more times before I really catch.
Well, in the last month, we've gotten.
Yeah, we gotta do that.
Mine I cleaned at, that was plugged up at the other end of Lincoln. And what part of it was that was plugged was like clay tile and stuff that's falling apart in there. One of these times it's just gonna be, you gotta dig it to fix it. But we did that, another service that was clay tile collapsed and was full of roots. And then, I don't know, it was done before I was. Have been here, but one pump had burned out down at the lift station in the park, so they unhooked it. And come to find out, part of the alternating switch box was burned out at the same time, so they just had it hooked with one pump while the other pump burned out. So we had to replace both pumps, and it's jury rigged now off a float until an alternating box can come. They have to make them for the pumps, because the pumps that were put in there, nobody had even heard of them. I don't know where they got them.
I never seen any paperwork on it. They had a hole under their injection pumps.
Do you want a motion?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to seek bids to create the USDA rural development loan application for the sanitary sewer collection project and to submit the RFPC bids to replace sanitary sewer collection system along Lincoln Avenue in the village of Alberta.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Motion by Holly, second by Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, opposed, motion carried. Thank you. Parks and Rec member. Bill?
I'll make a motion to nominate Andy Bollinger to be a member of Parks and Rec.
I'll second that.
He was here arguing, oh, this is the science, that's him.
Like I said, he did history, they're up on their history.
Anyway, so.
But he's willing to volunteer, he's passionate, he's obviously passionate about what he believes in. We don't always have to agree, but.
You gotta agree to disagree.
That's right, we gotta agree to disagree. Okay, so there's a motion, by Bill, second by Holly. All in favor?
Aye.
Nate? Okay, motion carried. Appreciate all the volunteers that we get in the room, so. Okay, number six, trash in the village. That was something that I put on there. We've had a lot of problem again, and I don't know what the answer is, but people from out of town and people putting household rubbish in the trash containers. Totally open to suggestions, we have money out in signs. I don't think the village should be paying to get rid of the trash in front of the conundrum. When it's full, they take it out, they set it next to the trash can. Not our trash, so just throwing that out there as well.
Is that the village, that's.
At the village property now?
It's village property.
Oh.
It's village property, but.
Then if you don't want them to fill it, then move them.
Well, that's, it's not my authority, I would just let them know how we're gonna feel about that, I'm one.
Well, there's two food businesses out there, you think they could put trash receptacles?
They fill them up. They don't make any difference where you go. Like I said, those are probably pretty expensive trash containers here. And it doesn't take the village that much problem to throw those in a couple bags if we can, our trash garbage.
It doesn't, but, you know, I'm all about it. What you do for one, you better do for everybody. So you have those two businesses that have those, and when they get full, they take them out and set them next to the road. And if animals get into those, guess who's gonna clean it up? I don't think it's up to the village to take care of trash for business. I would rather see those moved down to the park or the market park, you know, by one of our pavilions.
They still be filled. And you still do that same route. Right now, I see people from all over. I mean, not just those two people, two businesses. People walk down that street and throw a bag in there. They do this all the time. Nothing. I watched it in the wintertime. They get filled up in the wintertime and stay filled up. Now who's doing it then? Because it isn't the businesses.
No, it's not the businesses. Right now, it's the businesses.
Oh.
Well, and I don't even care that much that it's there in the business use. I'm just saying, when it's full, it looks like crap to see bags of garbage piled right at the very first thing you see when you come into the village of Alberta, and I see it almost every day.
Well, yeah, we didn't have that last year. We had them all picked up all the time last year. I don't see.
It's not our job to pick them up, though, Ken.
Huh?
It's not our job to pick them up.
It's our
if you're going to do it, you better do it for all the other. I want to start setting mine out there.
Like I said.
And I can go through some garbage, too.
Well, I go through a lot of garbage, but most of mine is recycled.
Yeah, mine is too.
You know, I, but
by the beach because we was having the same problem up at the turnaround.
Did you go down to the park Monday morning? Try that next Monday morning, go down to the waterfront park.
That, we do dump that trash.
Well, is that any different than...
Yeah, because we as the village offer the pavilion. We offer that pavilion. Where we offer seating, we should have trash cans. We don't offer that seating. That's a public area because it's supposed to be, but...
Well, that's what it is. I mean, we had to me, if both the cans are left like they are, if you want businesses to talk to businesses and pay you, you're going to have to take care of your trash because you're filling it. But who's going to do it when after they're out of business and they get filled up anyway, and they're filled up the first week they're gone?
If they're not there, they're not going to fill them. That's my point. Okay, so we're going to agree to disagree. How's the rest of you guys feeling? Oh, this kid and I can argue.
The village can pick them up.
They're on village property.
That's right.
The village trash cans.
And they should pick them up.
Yes, we understand that most of it is from poultry business. However, it's village trash cans.
It's village trash in the trash can. I don't have a problem. It's setting it outside that trash can. In the street, it looks like crap.
Right.
And I think that's wrong.
Well, because you're not getting picked up.
Well, they can't run and pick them up. I mean, literally, you could pick those up several times a day.
No,
am I wrong?
No, she usually gets them probably, right now it's like once a week.
Yeah.
It's like once or twice a week. And she just keeps an eye on them, and she puts the bags in them, and then she just ties them up and sticks them by the side of it, and then when we come through, we just pick it up.
I don't think it's a problem. It's something that the village is offering, just put it that way. Because what are we offering to people in this town right now? Very, very.
I agree with him, so I apologize.
I mean,
I don't care.
The big ones down below, I mean, that was a little bit different. That was people coming and dumping big bags of their household trash. And I mean, they would just dump them right in it. And, you know, that's not like people that stop and get a sandwich and throw a little piece of paper in. I mean, they were putting garbage bags in styrofoams.
So maybe when she bags it up, and instead of leaving it there till they drive by, maybe she can drive the truck and throw it in right away so it doesn't sit outside.
Something.
Well, yeah, you can see it and pick it up.
Yeah. Keep a closer eye on it and pick it up. It looks awful.
The other day I did, but I was looking for the insurance guy that I lost. I figured that was a little bit more important than picking up a bag of garbage.
But, like I said,
well, everybody else puts their garbage out on Friday, so keep it inside your building until Friday and then put it out. How bad?
Well, she just ties it up.
If the garbage can is full, you guys...
When she gets full,
you guys pick it up. You go through and you pick up the garbage, then it's gone, and then she has room to put more in there.
That's little to ask, isn't it?
Maybe just empty it when it's 3/4 full, because then it's not empty.
See, she checks it every day.
Okay.
So, because we do, like, the parks... We'll do once or twice a week. We'll look at it if there's nothing there. Well, she checks it, so if it gets full, she ties it up in the morning and sets it by the thing, and we see it and pick it up. You know, also just kind of saves us time, but she checks it every day when she's up.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll just leave them there. Keep an eye on them. That was the other thing, public hearing for the conundrum. Liability would start on their turn. Everybody can use that. And it's nice, and the girls have planted flowers and that. blocking a public throughway. It's not petty.
And no, that's a nice, real nice turnabout right there. There are a lot of people sat there on the edge there at all. But the only thing that bothers me is cars parking there.
Well, it's a legal park.
It's an illegal park.
I mean, if it's an illegal park, then they can be told.
You can't park on a curb anywhere.
If it's not, then, well...
They won't be parking there next week anyway.
Because you weren't?
Shut down that whole block.
Are you having a parade?
168 to the post office.
Why?
Because they're ripping off the curb.
Oh, good.
Putting in a new one.
Who's doing that?
Why are you putting in a new one? Take it out and leave it out.
Well, they gotta replace it.
I know what's going on.
Who's doing it?
Bob Kirby's doing the work for the county.
Oh, good.
It's a county.
County passed it last year.
They passed it for the last 5 years.
Terrible.
Terrible. That I couldn't do better.
The state's paying for it, the county's overseeing.
Good, finally.
Good, all time.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday they're gonna...
Okay, great.
No, I talked to Ernie about these port of the John down there. People are throwing a lot of trash in it down there at the park. I mean, the bicycle people are using it quite frequently too. That's okay.
Yeah.
But they are being misused by hardly unknown throwing in junk in them all the time.
Well, the complaints I get about they're not getting dumped on market. They need to be dumped the day before market, not while market is going, because it's a legal health issue with the department.
They're usually pumped the day before, and our contract is once a week.
So we have to...
Wednesdays, then we need to tell them to do it. Make sure they do it on Wednesdays, because there has been some times when they haven't, and...
I've never seen it.
That's the most important day of the week for that park is Thursday, so they need to be done, because...
I told them that. I mean, the one day it was full, I called them. I went and looked at it and called them and reminded his boy, and he come pumped it on Wednesday.
Well, I wonder if you could just tell them that needs to be pumped Tuesday or Wednesday? That way they have a little bit of leeway, but it's still done.
How much is it gonna cost if they pump that one twice a week?
No, actually, probably should have them pump that one 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, because it is...
You have a park, I'm telling you, they pumped it on Wednesday, and Sue was calling me Thursday morning, the shitter's full.
Yeah.
You know, and then she complains if he comes and pumps it while they're there.
Well, that's a health issue. You can't pump it while people have food there.
Well, the thing is...
That's bad.
Make sure, I'd have them pump it twice a week, you're done with it. That would probably help.
Yeah, 2 or 3 times a week, I mean, just the ones in the park are fine.
Yeah, that'd be much better.
Because, I mean, it does, there's a lot of people that use it.
It is, I mean, we planted...
It's kind of a trailhead thing.
We planted trees down there, and we had one last week. Mind you, I got, we planted a $100 tree there, and the next morning I see someone try to dig it up.
Right, is it still a tree?
Yep.
They're expensive.
Well, yeah, but how you gonna get away with looking at the road?
They have dug up.
Wow, that's awesome. Tell the police.
There's a nice tree down there, but I know they got it. I put some more stuff in there to make it pretty hard to dig in, but beside the point. The point is, when I was there, a lot of the people that were using the trail had it, they come down there, had it for John down there.
Well, how many, so there's only one porta potty at the park, and there's a couple at the life saving station, or how does...
No, there's two at the water for the park, the regular, and the painting gap. There's one at the mini pond.
And he was having problems down the water for the park too, not to get ahead of himself, but they were, until they started putting them where they're at now, they're in better shape, because they put them down there by the...
Right there, running over them, throwing them in the bay.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, cost-wise, would you want to put 2 porta potties, or does it make more sense to get a pump one?
Would it be better to have 2?
I don't know.
Or handicap one at least?
It is a handicap one.
I haven't looked at this.
Yeah, it is.
But I will this week, and we're gonna have church service down there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, make sure we do.
You better check it out, Joyce, before church.
Well, I don't have to worry, you guys will be done.
I mean, if you want, I can have a regular one and a handicap one there.
I mean, if it's getting used, that.
But I mean, they're still gonna, you know.
Yeah, I.
There's a lot of people that use them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, part of the body is used a lot. People, they know it's there, and they'll come, you'll see them come around the corner and they're quick out of the park right along. Live there.
Well, those campers down there are 92.
There's plenty of campers down there.
We have to check the, we have to check the budget, but I think that maybe we'll check in to see if it would be cheaper to have two or have a pump twice a week. I don't know, I have no idea.
I don't like any of that, but.
Check on that and see what.
I mean, Harry's always been fair, they've been pumping it probably a couple times a week and only charge us for one. And Harry's really fair with the village on that, you know, so.
But I, like I said, it's something.
I mean, if it's, if the use is there, it's.
Yeah.
It's there, it's there, it's there.
It's one of them things you gotta have.
Right, I just don't know if it's too much, if it's twice a week, could I have two or what would be better?
I'd have put one in there for like, for.
I mean, we're just for the month of.
Yeah.
From now until, through August, how would that be?
Till after Labor Day or whatever.
Still put a bullet in that.
Yeah, July and August and keep an eye on it, if they need two pumps, pump it twice, I mean, we can't be having that nasty. It's not that market.
And there's so many people.
And we have a reputation for having a really, one of the great markets.
Yeah, you know, if you start looking at it, look at all the market they got in Traverse City paper compared with it, there was only one when we started here in Calvert. There was only one and that's where it was at in Alberta.
Yeah, we want that to stay there, so. Okay. Holland Community Building?
That was addressed.
Oh, okay.
In that earlier.
So, Porter Jones, we're gonna increase.
Okay.
And watch for pumpings and no Thursday pumpings.
No Thursdays.
And plus a bed. But, not a lot of rooms there.
Yeah.
I just.
I was really amazing how many people use that.
Just.
Some of people go to the bar, they park their car down there too, that's true.
Well, it's nice to know that people are in our town and they're.
There's people driving in there.
Driving in there, Porter Jones, please.
You know, if they're here and they're getting out and they're going to the bathroom, they're seeing that really nice park. And they might want to come back for a month and besides just coming to their life. Okay, committee reports, we have a lot of the reports in writing. If anybody has any questions about those, otherwise we'll just do the ones that are not. We'll start with County Commissioner.
Right now we have 13 applications for the administrator's job. We're gonna try to do the preliminary interviews around the 30th. The townships have had one supervisor from the township organization is sending somebody, so it'll be open to the public. It's on, I think it's at 4:30 or something on the 30th. Or, man, they're not giving that. I think the first part is where we're just trying to narrow it down. But anybody's welcome to come as far as I know. They hired a manager at the road commission. Steels. He used to work for TC Dallas. I have no idea what that is. And he starts on the 20th. We don't have an engineer now, we just have a manager. I think they're going to hire that out. There's three terms that are coming up on the planning commission, three members. have good representation, but I think it's kind of centrally located in one area right now. And I think it would be better if we could. But you gotta get people to apply, so that's the main thing.
Do they have a, an application process for that, or a qualifications or anything?
They put it in the paper. So I imagine all I have to do is contact the clerk's office, and usually they just fill out a short little letter that I'm interested in, here's what I've done, and this would be part of it. And the other thing is, I have two map of the surveys that they're trying to do for the master plan through the planning commission. Two hard copies, if you can do it online, I'll leave these with you. And got Networks Northwest annual report of jobs and so on and so forth. And anybody wants to read through that, that's actually was pretty interesting in the way to do it. So I'll leave these with you, and you can also do this survey online.
Okay.
And it can be either mailed in or left at the county building.
Ken?
The other day, the MML insurance, the guy that does for them, that comes around, that takes around all the buildings, he did not have well one in the building on, so I had to put that on. Didn't, you know, that covers the well and the building, I got all the information for him on that. Like I said, we had to redo the lift station down at the waterfront park with them and with them other ones. We'll need that part of the budget up so that we can pay for them pumps and that. You're gonna have to put up probably $7,000 that we already spent this month.
Amend
the sewer maintenance part.
Do we have an invoice on that so we know how much?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, Bob has an invoice to sign. Unplugging on Lincoln or the repair on Lincoln and these pumps and that.
We're gonna have to get that part of that sewer out to the lower roots or that dead end.
I'm kind of way over my budget as I'm at.
You are way over.
So I'm gonna try and flush it with a fire hose. Correct. Instead of jetting it.
Okay.
I put in the paper for the sidewalks. You have to spend so much money the sidewalks, and I forgot how much we told them it was going to be. You remember? But to do one block, I figured it cost between $7,500 to $8,000.
Didn't we have to spend like somewhere around $5,000?
Yeah, it was between $5,500 to $5,900.
Minimum.
I mean, that's part of our sidewalk maintenance.
Otherwise, we lose our F51 money.
Plan, right.
Because last year we didn't do anything on it.
Right.
And so we got to spend some for...
Yeah, we had to do a, we had to do a five-year plan with them, so.
Right.
I'll look
so,
up exact figures, but...
Right, anyway, I brought up for bids, and I have, you know, the ad's coming out on Wednesday in the paper. And what I'd like to do is bid for a whole block, because from different ones I talked to, it's not good to go like half a block and have a scene. It's better to do a whole block. And I mean, in our streets, we have enough money and we're behind in it anyway, so if we did a whole block at a time, and then I'd bid for the, you know, I have the specs and stuff for it down there at the shop, so.
And that's for replacing that sidewalk, not...
Taking it out and replacing it. And
those little maintenance fixes end up being worse than the long
run. And when they come, when they're done, they would, yeah, the roots would be cut out from around the trees, and, you know, you have
trees in there?
No.
Could we add? Oh, because of the falling of the sidewalk?
No, the thing is, the village can have that piece of sidewalk put in down there on Furnace Avenue and build that to the property owner.
Oh, absolutely.
It has to be done, and it should be.
In the blue house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a safety issue.
It is a safety issue.
That piece of sidewalk stamped down there would cost probably as much as a whole block of our sidewalk.
That's up to the property owner to do it.
We should talk to those property owners, though, because that's.
I talked to them about, yeah.
That's not, yes.
Yeah, so when they.
I tried calling the one, and that number didn't work.
I think that would hurt.
Well, I will check into doing that and putting it on their taxes if they don't, because when I talked to MDOT back when that first happened, they said that the reason they didn't push the issue, the guy told me, was because when they went there to do the survey, the previous owner made it blocked it so they couldn't get in there to do the survey with his boat and everything. So he said, and we're so close to the village of Elbert taking that road over, we don't care, and that's what he said. You guys are gonna own it, it's gonna be your problem, you can do it and then bill the property owner. So I would guess, I don't know, but it's something we can do.
That they would do it, so I'll talk to him on that and find out.
Yeah.
That's a good point, that.
Because they.
Peace is danger, it's bad advice from there, escape walkers, especially at night, it's not that willing.
Oh, yeah, if you didn't know that sidewalk, you would land around your nose, or someone riding a bike right now.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, Kenny, will you check in that, three?
We mow that, I usually take the mower down and mow a couple passes there on the sides, along the sidewalk, just to keep people walking.
Didn't we have them people pay for that mowing a couple years ago?
Yeah, I usually get the side, that's what I'm gonna do it, I'm trying to get all of them, this week, and that Paul's number wasn't good, so I'm gonna call the other guy, Chris, I called him once and he wasn't in, and have that, everything mowed.
Yeah, and add to Jackson's, cause that is nasty.
Yeah, that needed.
From the one end all the way down.
Yeah, right, their lots are, that they have.
Yep, the lots up front and whack around them houses and.
Yeah, but like.
And that's not like, that's gonna be a surprise, cause you talked about that last year, and you took them down there and showed them, so.
And they, like I said, that sidewalk is been left for 3 years now.
And when they went and talked to us, they said something about putting that sidewalk in too, so.
Well, it's time to get it in.
Time to get it in, it's not good like it is.
But anyway, what, right, it should cost between like, somewhere in the vicinity of $7,500 to $8,000 to do a block. So, what I learned is after, cause I'm gonna have where the bids are in early next month, if that whoever is like the lowest, you know, if I talk to Diane, show them with Diane, and we could okay him for right around that amount for the lowest one that would do it to the specs, and then we could probably have them all in by Labor Day.
Oh, so you need a decision before the next council meeting?
Right, cause if we made, you know, if we waited till then, that's a short period of time.
On the bids.
How about, what block are, don't you have to tell them what block?
Well, it's Lincoln, yeah, it's right in the.
I'm gonna do a block on Lincoln, probably from Pearson headed down on the east side of the road.
Yeah.
Cause I have three tear-outs in that one, that's why I picked that one.
That both the sidewalks out of there need to be go.
How will that correspond with the sewer project and the road going through there? Would that affect that at all?
That's one reason I picked that spot is cause I already have.
All the sewers in there.
That we already put sewers in there and going up through, cause the sidewalk's missing there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's.
Oh, I know, it's bad, I walked to work.
So.
All the, I don't know about the Smith's way, but all the other.
have the budget, finance, and audit committee oversee it, not just me, that...
Well, I was just going to come with the lower, with whoever the lowest bid was.
Right, well...
You have to go with the bid then.
That would be you or me, yeah, okay, there you go.
So you go put the bid down for one block?
Right.
And you can designate what block you want, so the people can look at it.
Right, and he knows that, we don't.
I was going, you know, that's the same, it's going to be somewhere right around $8,000, give or take, probably what the bids are going to come in at.
Yeah, because...
When Jim Gilbert was a president, they did all of Front Street all the way up to the curb.
How many feet is that, Ken? How many feet?
I haven't wrote down.
Was it 1,800?
300, is it a block of over 300 feet?
Yes, 317 feet or something like that.
Oh, maybe 1,800 or 300.
4 feet wide.
I don't know if you want 4 feet wide or not, that they both can be wide.
Before you go casting me a price that I'll hold you to, you'll want to look at my spec sheet, so...
I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm too busy. That seemed to me that those sidewalks are 5 foot, aren't they?
Well, Jim, whatever the sidewalk is on Main Street.
Aren't they all 5 foot?
That's a nice one.
I think so, but maybe...
I don't know, I would...
Is it for people to park on or walk on?
Walk.
You bet, you know, that teased me off when Blonick got a car parked right on front, on the sidewalk.
Call the sheriff's department, they have a deputy, they get a ticket again.
They drive right by it and don't do anything about it, watching through that the other morning. The black car.
We need to get you deputized, you're out.
I know!
Get us the money.
Hey, just me can observe what's going on in this town and just by driving through there, if anybody else do the same thing.
I do every morning.
I drive through and I think I need bread and what do I need for dinner and, oh crap, I'm going to be late for work.
Zoom!
Oh no, I'm getting pulled over, I'm speeding.
Oh, did I hit something? Oh.
I went down to the sidewalks.
So, you know, that way, I mean, even if they can't get, instead of taking one, you know, say, tear it out, I mean, there's a little bit of a process, it's not like...
Does anybody have a problem with that?
No, it needs to be all redone, then we don't have very, very many good, Bill did some sidewalks a few years ago, and then we found the sidewalks there. But the, like you said, most of our sidewalks are not really nice to walk on, or even ride a bike on.
Right, if we did a whole block, I mean, it would be nice.
And that would be part of our new maintenance plan.
Afford, like, two blocks worth or something, because, just, yeah, you leave Main Street, we need all sidewalks.
Okay.
You know, so, but...
Put it out there, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to, that's the one I was going to show, was that block right there.
Okay.
And on the specs, it's 4 inches thick, and then whatever width it is, if it's 4 foot wide, every 4 foot they make a saw cut. If it's 5 foot wide, every 5 foot they make a saw cut. Where cars, where driveway is 6 inches thick. And we don't have any there for like industrial, but if it's like for where there's a big truck's going to go across or something, it's 6 inches with mesh in it. And it has to have a certain pressure.
We might want to see what Lee needs to park on.
Well, this has, it has to have a certain pressure concrete. And then,
well, if you like that piece, we can see if we can get that sidewalk on the Front Street.
That would be great.
Well, I'm going to see if they'll pay for that.
Well, they better. They are paying for it.
And then on our antennas for the wells, to go back and forth to tell us, like, for when they alternate, they're too high of a frequency or something, Mary got a letter on.
Well, we're going to shut one well now, so I don't think you're on that one.
We're going to shut
one well. Oh, I thought you were talking about tanks. You're talking talking about the well that...
There's a problem, yeah.
Well, what do we get about that?
Well, we gotta get it down underneath the thing, and she's, I talked to the guy, and he's been talking with Mary, he's gonna get her back, was supposed to get back with Price this morning. I seen her, she, he had got it back with her yet. And he had called, and he's gonna price it both, I told him to price it both ways, whether it's just one that they can adjust, because I don't know, 20-something or whatever, it's gotta get down below 3.8 or something like that, for the radio wave out.
Who's it?
Yeah, we got a permit, they got a permit every year.
We have a permit, and they know that ours is 20, it's this law that passed or whatever, and we got so long, you gotta have it down under. So we called the well control guys, and they're gonna get a price on that, and there's two ways, and then there's one that can, there's one to, you just drop down lower, and then there's one that can be used if they go to that SCADA system for the water tanks.
Yeah, the frequency.
That would be used right in with that and the wells, because they all hook together. So he was gonna price it both ways, so. That, you knew what the price was on that.
Wow. Maybe we don't have. Anything else, they're just full of good news. On a happy note.
Yeah, more good news. Yeah, we've got a happy note. We should have had our check from the Lula.
That's a happy note. That's a happy note.
Good, that can pay for the stuff down to Waterfront Park and the sewer problem.
But anyway, yeah, no, well, like I said, they'll pay for your $500.
What was that for?
That was Glenn's Felice come in, and it was over we budgeted it. And so what they did with it, a one-time deal, is to gave Frank their, what was it, they have, Alberta had 31%, and Frankfurt had the other, and they took the figures out and gave Alberta a percentage, and had Frankfurt a percentage.
It was a one-time, almost like a bonus jump from...
But they were $22,500.
That would all go on the sewer fund, though.
So they got paid, they get paid.
No, that would come down, because...
That would all go on the sewer fund.
So that was like a big bonus thing.
Don't happen very often.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, they should have had to check maybe they didn't. Maybe you didn't make it till last few days. It was presented to the council last week.
Well, won't take that money up. Anything else that Lula or fire department?
I haven't heard a thing on the fire department, and I'm going to talk to Josh, because this idea of not having a meeting, we haven't had a meeting all year.
You know, when you do talk to Josh, and would you ask that they be a little bit more visible in the village for these fire permits and stuff? Because I have posted a number, I think I'm posted it in the alert, and so that when people, because you're seeing fires around town, I don't think anybody's got a permit. I don't think people know they have to. And he needs to be on that. He needs to go talk to people and let them know and basically that, you know, and kind of look over those and make sure that they're safe.
Well, like I said, if they don't have a permit, they're not safe.
But that's his job. It's not Kenny's job. It's not your job.
Fire chief's talked to that guy down in the yellow house down there twice.
Right next door, he had a fire code.
It's for burning illegal.
Oh, yeah. He was doing it real late one night when I got home about 1 in the morning, and I stopped and politely said, it doesn't count if you do it in the middle of the night.
Well, he was warned twice. Charlie told me if I see him burning stuff to call. And
After the fourth, we got one pickup load of garbage from down below. I don't know what organization did it or whatever, but somebody had cleaned a bunch of stuff from the fireworks and stuff. They had bags sitting down there in the middle where we had them parked. So we went down, loaded up the old truck once. So it was a good load, but.
Yeah, one time, you know why they do that? They used to haul that stuff away, but they went over here to the motel in Frankfurt, across the road there. Anyway, the truck burned up.
You guys should also consider something on fireworks. For anything that goes off the ground, on how big it is and what time they can knock it off at.
Yeah.
We really do, because I've had a lot of people ask us about it. We need to...
Or even how long, anything that goes in there and explodes.
Well, the thing is, that is happening there. I mean, when the bombs go off, I don't mind. It doesn't bother me, but the idea of it is that there should be a time when...
Well, the thing is, again,
2 days before, 2 days after.
When they shoot way up in the air and then they make all that big boom and all that stuff comes down, that stuff that's on fire, and when it comes down, it's hot. And it doesn't go on our lots. There isn't a lot in Alberta, whether it's sand products, that's big enough for them to shoot up and catch all of their stuff.
No, one of the worst things is the parachutes they got with the light in them. Slogan lights, lanterns.
I mean, I called the sheriff's department. They said there is no noise ordinances at all in Benzie County.
Well, that's not true.
No, it isn't. No,
we have
one.
But if we can do a fireworks ordinance, but without an enforcement officer.
Right. But all that at home.
Well, we're working on that.
But Ken, would you talk to them about that at the fire department? Sprinklers probably dealt with that as well. And there's a state law, because I went in and printed it off, about the days that you can.
There's 3 days.
It's the national holidays, 4th of July, Labor Day, and.
But you can do that, that's all. Mm-hmm. It's prohibited from that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the sheriff's department told me any national holiday.
Yeah, there's only three, though.
There are three, what they're talking about.
So I printed all that off.
You can do it the day before, the day of, and the day after.
Right.
Until 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Are you saying that's what the law is, till 1 a.m?
That's what the law is.
Okay.
So if...
Well, I got one call 3 a.m. saying they're still going.
Yeah.
Well, they do a lot right down here in the middle town.
And they can't do them on municipal property. That is the
law. Or my property.
I mean, they can do it on
the
wrong.
Well, again, I mean, hate to...
All right.
Tell you, but it wasn't in the trailer park. It was between the trailer park and Bill's house.
So, Ken, you look into that whole fireworks stuff?
I don't know, but I remember right, they were, Frankfurt was working on that, fireworks.
And look up our noise, because we have a noise ordinance, because I remember getting that out.
Yes, we do. I'll look it up.
Okay, Bill, Parks and Rec, Betsy Valley Trail, Benton.
Yeah, it was last Thursday, and we didn't have a quorum, so we...
Yeah, there's a report in here.
Yeah.
And what you guys are working on.
No quorum,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have a quorum, so it wasn't really a legal meeting.
Okay.
That actually covers... Oh, the signs are up. They're up at Edna and they're up down at the Waterfront Park, so I put on take pictures of those because they're part of the grant reporting system that has to be done every August, and they haven't been done for 10 years. So I got a lot from the state and heated them and sent us pictures on the signs. Well, the signs were on. The one at the Edna hadn't been off, but it was ordered, so now they're there. So.
Diane, there's pictures of the signs that we installed. That's what we did during the meeting.
Uh-huh.
During the non-meeting, we went and installed the two signs at the waterfront park.
Yeah.
So, and I have pictures of them that I can send you.
Oh,
so.
Perfect.
Yep.
If you can email them, I can just put them right in my report.
Yep.
Could you do that for
me? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Municipal building as well. That's been doing a lot. This building, Kenny, would you ask Santana if she will come down once a week and kind of do a run through here? Appreciate that.
This door is, needs paint.
It needs more than paint, the holes in it. Been patching it for 3 years. It actually needs new doors.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, do you have white paint in the water?
Oh, really, I don't know. It's on my list to patch.
If you want to do something about that sewer pipe that broken off there, I don't know what part of it is, but I put a tin can over 2 years ago, and now they're coming off the stump and I'm breaking the mark of it off. Right by the door.
I replaced the tin can twice. I dig way down and probably chip up in part of the cement from the way they put it in.
I don't know about, like I said, there's a clean out over here in the middle of the yard.
That's a fitting that's broke. To replace that, I have to dig down and chip out part of the cement.
I don't know, whatever you do, or I'll plug it off or something, so someone don't fill it up with sand, of course. Something's got to be done.
Can you cap it, or you can't do that without fitting?
I don't think I'm going to have to put a fitting on it.
No, I took a couple of bottles, a plastic bottle out of it the other day. There was six or seven of them here, but the kid must have been playing in the water. And they had a couple of them stuck down there. But, and the can was back off. I don't know, of course, there's a hole there. They don't fill it up anyway. That's like kids putting water in a gas tank. They do it.
Well, there's a thing in here, and Kathy resigned, so considering she pretty much did 97% of the work, I'm in trouble.
Well, we just fortunately get her help.
Yeah, so I mean, if we can get someone else that would be great, they don't have to do 97%.
Yeah, we really, well, and we have been looking, but we really need to seek out a treasurer or a clerk.
Yeah, and if we could advertise for clerk, that would be
no, we did, we got nothing. But
can we do that in the MML paper?
Let's look in the MML, yeah. Let's look in the MML paper. And gosh, it's such a great job. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Ken. We'll look in the MML paper. And then employee relations, Joyce?
We didn't have a meeting, and I stopped down and talked to Ken and Mary, and they didn't feel we needed one next month either. I said, fine.
No news is good news.
Unless something comes up.
Busy working, busy.
Yeah.
Working.
Well, in the president's report, we didn't have a. This was a month of no meetings. The policy procedure internal control. We had a. We didn't have a meeting, but we've been doing stuff online, going over. We're looking for office procedure, trying to nail that down so that when we do get somebody, this is the way it's done. Kathy has put, you know, she's instilled a lot of stuff in a amazing process, as has Terry McGregor. So we're taking theirs and trying to compile it into a kind of a to-do list there, and then started with the big blue book, just by a piece on that, as has planning commission to kind of looking at the zoning book. Kind of. Kind of going through that too, and just seeing again, like the fire ordinance, what laws may have changed, what we need to incorporate into amendments there. And then I met with, I met with Kenny a couple times. I talked to Gordy Frazier, Sky Ryan, and Dave Johnson, who place in Vanderbrink has, just like Gordy Fraser has all our water, I think police in Vanderbrink have their sewer, okay? They were the sewer engineers.
I'm not sure, Ken might know. From what I was told is, on one project, the contractor that they were overseeing, when they were overseeing the contractor quit. They hired out to somebody else, and then they wanted the village to pay extra for that other contractor to finish it.
Yep.
Well, that was a deal there that,
some other stuff too, police in Vanderbrink.
Yeah, I told him, I told Dave Johnson.
Yeah, that was the guy, that was happened, that was part of, Dave's fault. That was going out there. He told Brent that it would be all right to do a certain part of a job there, wasn't, because it didn't go through the village. And so that was, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000, that was argued about and all that kind of stuff.
Well, my thing is that they, if they have, just like if Gordy Fraser has our water and they have our sewer, and we paid them a lot of money to do that, I would think we probably either have copies of it.
They have done the whole system.
Right.
They've just done.
What they've done.
Right. But do we have copies of that somewhere? That's the question.
I have them in 1935, and they would come get part of that copy, and they just did what they were gonna redo.
Just those sections, but they don't have a schematic of our.
They don't have a, no.
Well, that was my other question.
You got what you got.
He didn't know, the guy I talked to didn't know, and.
I put out Lansing, this sewer line here years ago, or no, started with, Joyce was, I worked for him, I was 15, and they fired me when I found out I was 15. And we, they put sewer, that's a lot of sewer lines out here, but they were piecemeal. We have a lot of piecemeal sewer lines all over town.
Yeah.
But.
So we're gonna have to have a whole engineering study for that part of the problem.
Yeah.
So that's something that, because Gordy Fraser doesn't have that either, we'll have to put that out to bid. So we'll need to do an RFP.
Cause all of them.
And that's what we made the resolution for, so I just.
Yeah, that, yeah, they don't, they've only done certain parts.
Yeah, and Gordy did some, there was, one other, Mount Pleasant did some, I can't think of the fellow's name that did another part there. And I'm on the boat when this sewer line was put in there.
Okay, public comment?
Yeah, it would be really cool to pass something about fireworks, cause that was really hectic this year. I don't really want a repeat of that next year. It was really loud, and I have people setting them off. It seemed like it was right next door to me, and they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
They, I mean, huge booms, and just, and scary from a fire standpoint, and just, and more just like, and it went on really late.
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, if fourth, and it was like the day, it was literally was, it was the day before, the day of, and the day after. And, you know, people gotta work, kids gotta sleep.
My neighborhood, like that whole 2 weeks. You know, that might be something that we want to encourage people to write to the governor and rescind that one.
But we can, if we pass a local ordinance, we can override it. And the sheriff, if we have a local ordinance, then the sheriff can respond. But because we don't have an ordinance, then it falls under the state law.
Then they can.
Would you want the only something they?
I don't think there should be any, I think there should, I don't think there should be any fireworks in the village limits. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, Roman candles and stuff, that's fine, but. Yeah, little things that you get, like, you know, little bottle rackets and stuff like that, but not like mortars.
So Ken's gonna look at it, find out what we can legally
do.
Limit it to.
Okay.
In the.
Hmm?
Okay. Anybody else? Gary? Chuck, would you like to comment publicly? Commissioner's thing? Just as a resident of the county. And someone who sits through these long meetings, God love you. We really do care about your opinion, because you know, you are objective. We're all kind of emotionally tied in sometimes, we get a little bit out of.
Well, I'm always been impressed with all the local units. And this was even before I got in here, because I think the basis for everything done here is done at the local level. Mm-hmm. And that's the townships and the villages. Because the higher up you go, the worse it gets, I think. And the less that you're in contact with the people that really are the ones paying the bills and the ones you should be working for. So I commend you all for volunteering and doing it. And I know it's a lot of work.
Thanks.
I think you do a good job.
Well, and Chad did not come tonight. I thought he was going to come for the Menzies Law's that moment, August 4th.
Yeah.
And it's a renewal. It's not a
renewal.
Oh, yes.
He was
I correct on that?
Ball.
Oh, was he?
He was at Thompson on
okay.
Tuesday.
Well, like I said, I'm really impressed with the thing for the ridership they've got on it. You know, you see them a lot of times, you see one or two people on there, but when you start looking at the annual ridership on there, it's pretty hot.
I'd like to see them get some cars and some smaller vehicles, though.
They did get some
smaller ones, but I mean, there's a lot of time when there's just one.
But those bigger buses they got, they're going to burn as much as like an automobile.
But
they're both running on natural gas.
They're giving people an opportunity to go places that would never have an opportunity, and they're giving people an opportunity to park their cars in the winter, which puts less emissions out there for the rest of us that you know.
That's one of your better businesses in town there in the county, even if we are only a 7,000 population county.